All right, then, if you've got your Bibles, we'll go to the book of Daniel, chapter 6, verse 1 through 3, and I'll read into your hearing real quick. It said, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be over the whole kingdom. And over these, three governors, somebody say three governors. Three governors, of whom Daniel was one, that the satraps might give account to them, so that the king would suffer no loss. Somebody say, suffer no loss. No. Then he says, then this Daniel, somebody say, this Daniel. This Daniel. You know, this Daniel, that's a distinguished way of identifying somebody, this Daniel. Some folks must not have liked that, this. What was distinguishing about this Daniel? This slave Daniel. This guy that's been here in captivity, then this distinguished himself. Somebody say, above. Above the governors and the satrap, because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king gave thought. Somebody say, gave thought. Gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. Amen. We're going to come back to that later. Y'all hold on to that. Well, you may be seated. You may be seated. This is going to be our third and final sermon in this little series that we have entitled, you know, Distinguished, Standing Out for God. And we said distinguished means excellence or distinction that sets oneself or something apart from others. To make oneself prominent or wealthy or worthy of respect through our behavior or achievements. The third definition says to recognize or treat someone as different. I've said that we are looking at some individuals in the Bible who distinguish themselves through their faithfulness, their courage, their leadership, and their devotion to God and his purposes. And we saw that they are acting in ways that set them apart from the world and the culture around them. I've also said that it is my prayer that as we go forth, we can learn from these individuals and be encouraged and inspired to live distinguished lives as we live in the world that God has placed us in. We must not live our lives in accordance with the culture and the norms of our society, but we must distinguish ourselves in a way that set us apart. Can I get amen right there? You know, we're not going along to get along. Every now and then you ought to stand out, amen? And last week we looked and saw how David stood out, and we saw Peter and John's episode before the Pharisees and how they stood out. And I want to encourage you, if you missed the first two parts of this, go back, check it out on our website or in our podcast. I believe you'll be blessed by being a part of that, amen? Now today we're going to begin in Acts chapter 10, real quick. Acts chapter 10, 1 through 5 is my first turn. And I'll be here for a minute, but here we're going to see Cornelius, a Roman army officer, centurion. He distinguished himself by showing reverence and respect to God, but more so by showing generosity to the poor. And you know, and I have often said, because of repeated scripture proof, you can't go wrong when you do something for the poor, the widows, and the orphans. You can search the word of God, and anytime people had a heart for the poor, the widows, and the orphans, God had a way of looking out for them. So Cornelius stood out because he was part of an occupying force. And the Jews, how can I say this nicely? The Jews were not really that fond of the Romans because the Romans were oppressing them. And on top of that, Cornelius stands out because he's part of an empire that believes in many, y'all fill in the blanks, many gods. In other words, he's part of an empire that practiced polytheism. And because he believed, they believed in many gods, when he accepts the true and living God, now he's going to stand out amongst his people. And so what I'm trying to tell you is that we're living in a world where a lot of people don't know God. And there are a lot of people worshiping many different gods. But if you got the true and you need to stand out. Amen. Now look at this. In verse 1 it says, and what you're going to see, this is a big pivotal point in the book of Acts, because also this is the place where the gospel is first going to go to the Yeah. Them heathen. Gentile. See, it had started off in Judea, and it had them spread to Samaria, but now it's finna go to them Gentiles. Y'all need to say Gentile, because that's what you all are. If you ain't a Jew, you're a Gentile. And so back then, we've been looked at as heathens. But God saw fit to make sure that we Gentiles got the gospel. And so we see here, it says, in Caesarea, there lived a Roman army officer named Cornelius, who was a captain over the Italian regiment. He was a devout, somebody say devout. He was devout. In other words, he was devoted and dedicated to God. Because the Bible says he was a God-fearing man, as was everyone in his men. If you save, you need to make sure that your whole... Can I get amen from the brother? Your wife shouldn't have to lead you to Jesus. I'm talking to the brothers online now, and I know y'all in here saved, so let me just talk to them for a minute. If you're the head of your household, when you find Jesus, everybody in your house should be no options. Is Jesus a bus? Amen. We giving our kids 2 minutes, and when you give them options, they're going to take the... Y'all better hear me today. Let me get back to Cornelius. I wasn't supposed to meddle right there. But look here. He says, one afternoon about 3 o'clock, so he kind of prayed on a regular basis, he had a vision which he saw an angel of God coming toward him. Cornelius, the angel said, and look at Cornelius' vision. He says, Cornelius stared at him in terror. What is it, sir? He asked the angel. And the angel replied, look what came up to God. Your prayers, so when you pray, your prayers ought to be going somewhere. And your gifts to the poor have been received by God as an offering. So when you pray, your prayers ought to be received. When you give to help someone that's worse off than you, that ought to be received by Jesus said, what you do for the least, you do unto. So that he's not a respected person. So if Cornelius was doing that, God got to set something up to make sure he understands who he's really worshiping. So he says, now look, now send some men to Joppa and summon a man named Simon Peter. Now, while Cornelius was doing that, God had to work on Peter too. So God was orchestrating this thing from both ends, if y'all know the story. So Cornelius had his visitation. Now God got to soften Peter's heart up to go and meet the men that, you know, Cornelius been looking for him. And see, the reason this is important that I read this to you, because Peter was still operating from his Jewish mindset. In other words, he still looked at us as heathens. And he didn't want to have nothing to do with heathens. So God couldn't just come at him, Adrian, you know, and tell him what he need to do. He got to work with him a little bit. You know, sometimes you have to work with people, do some dreams, some imagination, and get in their head a little bit, and use some other analogies. Because if you hit them with the point right away, they're rejected. So God got to work with Peter a little bit. Y'all understand what I'm headed with this? Now look at this. In verse 9 of that same chapter says, the next day, as Cornelius' messengers were nearing the town, Peter went up on the flat roof to pray. So Peter, like Cornelius, they praying to the same God. And the Bible said it was about noon and he was hungry. But while a meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. Somebody say trance. A state of semi-consciousness. He wasn't asleep, but he wasn't fully awake. And then while there, look what happened. He saw the sky open and something like a large sheet was let down by its four corners. And in the sheet were all sorts. Somebody say all sorts. Now, let y'all use y'all the Baptist, Methodist, Church of God in Christ imagination right there. All sorts of animals. Somebody say animals. Y'all got to get the picture. Maybe a little pig on that sheet. A little ram on that sheet. Little goat, Not sheep. Little snake. Because he said animals and reptiles. And birds. Maybe an eagle on that. So now God is showing Peter all these things that by law he shouldn't be able to. Y'all better get this. So he saw animals, reptiles, and birds. Then a voice said to him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat them." Now look at Peter's refusal. "No, Lord," Peter replied, "I have never eaten anything that our Jewish law have declared impure and unclean." Wow. Now God got to talk to him, and he got to talk to him more than once, Adrian. You know, sometimes we don't get the message the first time. But look at this, God's repetition in verse 15 says, "But the voice spoke again, 'Do not call something unclean if God has made it clean.'" If God has cleaned it up, he is the one who can change the dietary order. He can change. Y'all better hear me today. And see, the point here is that he was using food, but he was really talking about people. So we just a Gentile up here. Little Gentile lamb. Little Gentile goat. But in order to get Peter to come and talk to you, I got to make it make sense to him. Because he's stuck on a law that said, "I'm not even supposed to sit down and eat with you guys. I ain't supposed to be even in the same." So he said, now look, if God done cleaned it up, you can't call it unclean. The same vision was repeated to him, somebody said, three times. Y'all like Peter? You don't get it the first time. And you wonder why Pastor repeat that. Because learning takes place by repetition. Amen. Some things need to be your children need to hear you repeat certain things because they don't get it the first time. When they hear you repeat it several times, they know you're serious. A one-off, they ain't going to get it. So don't feel bad sometimes when you have to repeat the same lesson until they get it. Amen. And so he repeated that three times for Peter, and he still didn't get it. Then the sheep was suddenly pulled to heaven. Now look at this. Peter was very perplexed. In other words, his Jewish mind was all messed up. Because now he done saw something that go against everything he'd been taught. So he's puzzled. And he want to know, what could the vision mean? Just then, the men sent by Cornelius found Simon's house standing outside the gate. They asked if a man named Simon Peter was staying here. There. Get this. In Peter's confusion, he says, meanwhile, as Peter was puzzling over the vision, somebody said, The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit said to him, and that's where you come in now, because all of you should have the Holy Spirit. And every now and then, when you find yourself puzzled and don't know what to do, you ought to rely on the Spirit of God to help you, to lead you, and to guide you to where you need to go and who you need to talk to. You don't need to be puzzled and perplexed when God is trying to get you to do something that's going to be beneficial for yourself and somebody. Somebody say the Holy Spirit. If you're saved, you got to have him, because you can't be saved and know Jesus without him. Amen. Then he said, now three men have come looking for you. Get up, go downstairs, go with them without hesitation. Don't hesitate, because if you start thinking on your own, Peter, you'll talk yourself out of it. Yeah. See, that's why a lot of people don't get certain things done in their life, because they hesitate. And sometimes when you hesitate, you talk you out of doing what God told you to. Sometimes you got to follow this next thing and say, look, once you don't hesitate, he says, don't worry, for I have sent them. And now we all know the story. Peter go with them, and at the same time, while Peter is on his way, God has already been working with Cornelius. And so now when Peter get there, get this, Peter and Cornelius, you know, go through some niceties, greet each other, share their story, what happened. But during that time, after they had finished sharing, Cornelius said, "Now, Peter, I'm finna pull the whole family and all my servants together, and we coming to hear what your message is." At that time, the light came on in Peter's head. Because the Bible says, Peter said, "I perceive that God is not a respecter of in every nation, among any people, if they put their trust in him, he will save them." So God now opened Peter's eyes to see that that vision was not about animals. That vision was about these Gentiles. And if now that you understand the vision, now I'm giving you the reality of what the vision means. Now you need to stand up and preach Jesus to these heathen. And if you read the rest of the chapter, you don't have to go there today, but Peter preached Jesus, his birth, his life, his living, his the things that he did, but most of all, he preached his death, his burial, and his resurrection. The Bible said once Peter finished preaching, Cornelius and his whole house got saved, got baptized, and they got filled with the, just like they got filled with in chapter 2 of Acts. The Holy Spirit fell on them. And that's when Peter's eyes was opened that God's gospel was not just for the Jews. Now look at this. I'm not going to send you to no foreign land, to no foreign heathens. We can start with the heathens right there in our family. Amen. Can I get an amen? Amen. I mean, you ain't got to go to England looking for no heathen. We got some in our neighborhood. So God is saying, look, he's not a respecter person. If he saved you when you was a heathen, he can save Cousin Bobo. Uncle Louie. Aunt Julie. But the problem is, you scared to talk about Jesus. The saving power is not because God has not given it to us, is because we fail to speak with power and authority when we talk about Jesus. We fail to talk about him like we really know him and know what he has done for us. So that when we finish testifying about his goodness, somebody gonna believe. You may not save everybody in your family, in your neighborhood, in your community, who you work with, but look here, if one person come to the Lord because of your testimony, then you would have stood out just like Cornelius did when he got his whole household saved. Let me go back to Daniel. I've been reading this passage, so now I got to go back and dig a little deeper into Daniel. And see, you know, on one side, we find that the Romans was occupying Peter and the Jews, and God worked and got the heathens say, on this side of the coin, God's people are in slavery. And now, in captivity, God got people that can still represent him and stand out in a way that bring glory and honor to him. Don't let your position in life, your station in life, your state in life keep you from doing what God called you to do. You may be in a bondage situation now, but in that, with God on your side, you can deliver some folk. You can open some people's eyes to the power of the God that you serve. Stop allowing circumstances and situations to hinder you from being all that God called you to. Y'all back in Daniel with me right quick? And we see this, it says, now I'm going to start to begin. I'm going to read quite a bit, but I'm going to make some sense out of this. Because I'm a teacher, and I believe you got to learn something. I hope y'all got one note that you can leave here with today. You know, we may not squall and holler at the end, but you're going to at least know what Daniel went through. Yeah. Yeah. Amen? All right, let's go with this. Look at this. He says, now look, in verse 1, chapter 6 says, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps. I told you, we call them mayors. to be over the whole kingdom and over these three governors, of whom Daniel was one, that the satraps might give account to them, so that the king will suffer no. So we see here a reorganization taking place. Anytime a new administration come into office, some folk get moved out. Amen. Amen. If you don't believe me, just wait till November. Amen. That's just life. New king come in, he bring his folk, put them in place, but he also placed this Hebrew, this Jewish man, as one of his leaders. Now, when we look at this, we can see in verse 3 the distinction that set Daniel apart. He says, then this Daniel distinguished himself above. Somebody say above. When you're going to stand out, you're going to normally be above and separate from some folk. Amen. 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 Ain't nothing wrong with that. If you're good at what you do, you ought to stand out because you're good at what you do. So he distinguished himself above the governors and satrap because an excellent, somebody say excellent, an excellent spirit within. Daniel did things better than everybody else. It was just that simple. He was better than the rest of the guys. He had a better spirit. He had a better attitude. He had more wisdom. He had more honest. And look, he was more faithful than the rest of the guys. An excellent spirit was in him. And because that excellence just jumped out, the Bible says the king gave thought. Somebody say gave thought. He was just thinking about it. Setting Daniel over the whole, I'm going to put this former slave, Jewish boy, over the whole realm. You know, you started out, you was part of one of three, but you was over 40. Now the king gonna take you and elevate you over three, all of them. Probably get another one to be the third governor, and then you over all of them. Now you know when you get a promotion like that, some folks ain't gonna be happy. They just gonna wanna know how you jumped in front of the line. How in the world did you get promoted over me? And I've been here longer. I was born in this country. I was da 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 da. I'm good at what I. And the man saw that I have the right spirit when I. You can be good at what you do, but if you got to allow the spirit while you doing it, who want to promote? I know y'all ain't mean right now. Okay. So let me get back to Daniel. He put Daniel over the whole realm. Verse 4 and 5. Now I want you to see the conspiracy that took place because somebody was not happy. Amen. The Bible says, so the governors and satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could find no charge of fault because he was, somebody say faithful. Daniel was faithful, nor was there any error or fault found in him. Look what they said. Then these men said, we shall not find any charge against this Daniel. You know, when you look at that a little closer and deeper, sometimes that this Daniel could be used in a derogatory, kind of like saying, this Jew, this Hebrew, couldn't find no fault with this Negro. He just good. He good at what he do. And because he good at what he do, he gonna be faithful. And I'm thinking about putting him over. So they said, now look, man, the only way we're gonna get Daniel in trouble is by coming against his God. Because unless we find something that's concerning the law of his God, we ain't gonna find no fault in him. So guess what? What we see here starting in verse 6 through 9, we see the deception of the king. Now look here. So these governors and satraps thrown before the king and said thus to him, King Darius, live forever. That's just a pleasant greeting, but it don't tell you what's in their heart. Their mouth saying the right thing, but they come in with the wrong. Just because folk greet you in a nice, kind way out of respect, you better see what's in there. He says, all the governors of the kingdom, the administrators, satraps, and counselors, advisors, have counseled together, now they conspire together, to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whoever petitions any god or man for 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast into the lion's den. In other words, you know, the king had an ego. In other words, Wayne was like saying, King, you're going to be God for 30 days. Nobody can pray to nobody else but you. They can't worship nobody else but you. You're going to be God for 30 days. Now, he was already king, but now all of a sudden they got inside his head. You know, ego is a terrible thing. That's why you can't let people blow your head up and make you think you're more than you really are. You better get a grip and find out, why are they making me so important at this time? What is their motive? So, you know, the king, I'm the king already, but, you know, to be God for 30 days? You know, I'm pastor already, but to be God for 30 days? I mean, no prayer can go up unless it's Bolden in it. In the name of Pastor Bolden. Yeah, no petition, no praise can go to nobody else but Bolden. We love Bolden. We love Bolden. Man, that thing get to your head right there. You say, yeah, you'll lose conscience of who you really are because somebody done got it. So verse 8 says, now, O king, establish a decree and sign the writing so that it cannot be changed according to the laws of the Medes and the Persians, which does not alter. In other words, you know from previous lesson that anytime the Persian Empire, the Medes, signed laws into effect, that's why Esther and them got in trouble in that book, because they could not reverse the law. So they tricked the king into signing the law to say, whoever, you know, worship anybody but you, going to be put into the lion's den. Now look at this, verse 10. I want you to see this. As soon as the law was put in place, the Bible is going to show us Daniel's commitment in verse 10. It says, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home. And in his upper room with the windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times. Somebody say that day. On the same day that the king signed it into place, Brother JP, Daniel went home and started doing what he do best. Talking to his God three times that day. And instead of crying and complaining, he started giving thanks before God as it was his custom. So sometimes maybe when we go to God and pray, we just need to just go and give him thanks. Stop crying and complaining about things. Just sometimes just give him. The situation may be bad. Daniel was in a bad situation now. He knew the decree said, hey, man, if you do this, you go into the lion's den. But Daniel's commitment overshadowed him going against God. In other words, Daniel was so committed to God that he would rather die before he would bow down to another man. And that should question us and cause us to think in our hearts, where's your commitment? Now, I'm not asking any of you all to go out there and die, but let's get beyond that. God ain't going to call it. Y'all ain't going to have to go to the line then. But, man, you ought to be committed enough to stand up for God when you hear people saying things that is wrong and you know it's against God's word. We got to be committed enough to let the world know that we're not just involved with God. We're committed to God because we're willing to make a sacrifice of what we believe in. And if you're not willing to make that level of sacrifice for what you believe in, then that may be a question of whether or not you truly believe in God. So they found Daniel praying. And so, quite naturally, evil people are going to do what evil people do. They're going to run back to the king, let him know that, hey, your boy over there, you know, the one you've been thinking about, going to put over your whole realm. This dude ain't even obeying you. You done signed a decree. And for 30 days, you supposed to be the king and the God. And he over there praying to his God. Let's look at this conversation. Well, you know, evil people would do some of anything to keep you down. But you got to believe that if God is on your side, in the end, they're going to get what they deserve. You just got to stand on your faith and believe in the God that you serve. And in spite of your trial, in spite of your tribulation, in spite of your struggles, in spite of what you're going through, don't give up your faith in God. So when they found out that Daniel was praying, it was time to go back to the king, and they're going to use an entrapping, what I call an entrapping question about the decree to make sure that Daniel get punished for violating it. Verse 13 says, so they answered and said before the king, that word is again, that Daniel. That Daniel, who is one of the slave. That Daniel, the king already knew that. They had to go there. They just went there. That crazy, they could have left that out. They just went there. Who is one of the captives from Judah does not show due regard for you, O king, or for the decree you have made, signed, but makes his petition three times a day. Now look at this. And the king, when he heard these words, was greatly displeased with who? God. That'll tell you something right there. The king's self-condemnation. The king heard that and realized now what the decree was about. His head was so big at first, but now he was greatly displeased with him. Because he knew he had set Daniel up because he got the big head. These guys set him up. Now he done set Daniel up. But then he realized this king still loved Daniel, though, boy. He couldn't go back on his decree. But he could do something on Daniel's behalf. So look at this. He says, the king was greatly displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then look at this. Then these men approached the king and said to the king, know, O king, that it is the law of the Medes and the Persians that no decree or statute which the king established can be changed. Wow. They got the king between a rock and a hard spot. But the king shifted his confidence from himself to Daniel's God. Y'all better see this. So the king gave the command. And they brought Daniel and cast him into the lions, the den of lions. But the king said to Daniel, your God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you. Now get this. This heathen king somehow believed that the God that Daniel served could deliver him from these lions. Even though he could not reverse his order, he had enough sense to believe. Maybe he was there when the Hebrew boys got delivered from the fiery furnace and he heard that testimony, how God showed up. So now maybe he understands that the same God that showed up for them in the fiery furnace could show up, Wayne, for Daniel in the lions. So the Bible says, you know, they put Daniel in the den and the king went home that night. And the Bible says, you know, he fasted and prayed for Daniel. And the Bible said, you know, he took in no entertainment that night. In other words, he didn't watch Netflix. He wasn't on BET, Hulu. You know, he cut off all that entertainment for one night because Daniel's life was at stake now. So he didn't want to be distracted. And you know what? Some of those things are distracting us today from doing the things that we need to be doing for the Lord. We binging on Netflix. And I mean, you got to put a limit on that thing. If you done seen 3 episodes, stop. You ain't got to watch all 15 of them in 2 days. Oh, God, I need to help somebody right here. I need to help somebody because if your TV could talk. I mean, your family life is on the line and you binging on. You binging on Netflix when you ought to be praying. When you ought to be fasting. Oh, Lord, I didn't come to meddle today. I'm not talking to y'all. I'm talking to the people online. Because all y'all sitting here, I'm going to give y'all the benefit of the doubt. Because some of y'all looking at me kind of funny right now. But look here. If the shoe fit. Man, they say the king gave up all his entertainment. Now, you know, during that time, a king could get all kind of entertainment. We got kids here, but the king, you know. That's what the Bible was saying, because he didn't have Netflix. Yeah. He had a harem. Oh, God. Let me move on. Sometimes you have to make the Bible real to some folk, because they don't have, he just talking like Daniel, it don't apply to me. Well, yeah, your Netflix apply to all y'all. Hulu, Zoom, I just apply to all y'all. You ain't got no harem, but you got some other stuff distracting you. Let me move on. Help me, Lord. I'm being nice. Okay. So now, get this. After all that, early the next morning, the first thing the king did was went to the lion den crying out for Daniel, because he wanted to know, was God able to deliver him? So let's look at this as we're going to the closing part of this chapter, verse 21. It says, then Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. Then we see Daniel's vindication in verse 22. It says, my God, somebody say, my God. My God. See, you got to say my God like he's really your God. You got to make him personal to you. It can't be everybody else's God. He got to be. And you got to know that you can call on him anytime you want to. And you should have a testimony just like Daniel that my God has brought me through some stuff. My God has delivered me. My God was there for me when times got tough in my life when I didn't think I was going to make it. My God. My God. My God sent an angel. He sent somebody to take care of what needed to be taken care of. My God showed up in the nick of time when everybody thought I was going to die. My God. My God, you got to make him your God today. If he's somebody else's God, you're never going to have a relationship with him that you need. He got to become your God. Somebody shout, my God. Shout, my God. Shout, my God. Glory to God. Look, he says, Daniel says, in vindication, my God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth so that they had not hurt me. Excuse me. Then it says, because I was found, somebody say innocent. Yes. Before him, even though they lied on me, in God's eyes, I was still, God vindicated me because he shut the mouths of them lions up so that I could live in spite of the lies that were told on me. I was found innocent before him. Now, you know, some of us have been guilty of a lot of stuff. Don't y'all get quiet right there. Because the Bible said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So that means, you know, you was guilty of some stuff. But you better be glad that Jesus made it possible for you to be found. He justified you so that you can stand before God innocent, even though you were guilty of some stuff. Because of Jesus, you have been. So, well, look here, I just want to talk to some people. That, hey, when you know you've been set free. When you know that the Lord done delivered you from something, look here, you don't have to live your life like you still in the lion's den. You don't have to live your life like you still bound up, because the God has set you.
Somebody said, I was found innocent, Mom. I did all kinds of stuff in my youth, but when Jesus came in, I was found. Oh, glory. I don't know if any of you ever been in a courtroom and seen someone get their charges exonerated and all charges are dropped. You can normally see the joy that comes over when they know that, hey, God has set me free. And if the Lord has set me free, I'm free in. Oh, God. Oh, let me get back to Daniel, man. I lost myself right here. But every now and then, you just have to have a flashback because some of us in bondage, some of us in our own dens, but God found us innocent. Ooh, he said, I was innocent before him, and also, O king, I have done no wrong before you. I was innocent before God and man. The king's jubilation in verse 23. Look at this. Daniel didn't have to shout. The king started shouting. Yeah. King got it. You know, when some of y'all get saved, some of y'all just go. Yeah. I've been praying for that boy all that time. That partner got saved. Look, he don't know how to shout, but look here. Y'all ain't had no kids out there that you had to pray for. Had to get them out of some stuff. Had to see them be delivered. And then when you saw deliverance taking place in that life, you got glad. They didn't even know how to give God thanks, but you gave thanks. Oh, glory to God. Look at this. The king's jubilation, verse 23 says, then the king was exceedingly glad for him. Not for himself, but for Daniel. And commanded that they should take Daniel out of the den. So Daniel was taken out of the den, and no injury whatever was found on him because he believed in his God. Somebody said, my God. My question, do you believe in your God? Do you have faith to believe that your God can deliver you, that your God can set you free, that your God can meet your every need? Do you have that type of faith? No matter where you find yourself in life, your God is able. Now, I read this, and I really felt sorry. Because, you know, I want the wicked to get punished. But, man, I just hope y'all wickedness don't take your children down with you. Because this stopped me in my track. Now, this may, you know, God may not have told the king to do this, but this was kind of the custom of that time. They kind of had the mindset, you know, if one somebody in the family was kind of crazy and did some stuff, maybe the whole family got a little of that crazy in them. So they ain't just kill you, Wayne. They don't kill everybody. Now, this touched my heart right here. Say, look, verse 24. Because the wicked is getting executed, but I hated to see the kids go too. But I'll make sense to it. Look at this. He said, and the king gave the command, and they brought these men who had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions. Then the den of lions, them, their children, and their. That seemed cruel and unusual to me. But let me stop right there. You know what? Sometimes your sin can have an adverse impact on other people. You may not believe that. But just let me give you this analogy. A drunk driver. Sinner. Driving with his kids in the car. Innocent. Another car coming, sober driver, his kids in the car. That drunk driver swerved over in his lane head on and killed everyone. That one man's sin caused the death of people in both cars. Sometimes your sins have consequences beyond you. You may think, you're the only one. But I've seen people who've been caught up in games. And the enemy was trying to get them, but shot up the house and killed their mama. Sometimes your sin can have consequences beyond you. So when you see people out there suing, say, oh, this is just me doing me. I'm going to do me. Well, if you're doing you and sinning, you could be impacting somebody.
Wow. Let me just read that again, because that just stopped me. And the king gave the command, and they brought those men who had accused Daniel and cast them into the den of lions. Them, their children, and their wives. Some of y'all may remember when those folk came against Moses. And God opened up the earth and swallowed Korah and all his. It wasn't his whole family that came against Moses. It was him. And the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones into pieces before they came to the bottom of the den. Then we close with this proclamation of the king. Now look what Darius do this time around. Then King Darius wrote to all people, somebody say all people, to all people, nations and languages that dwell in the earth, in his realm, peace be multiplied. Now look what he decreed. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, I don't care if you're in the country or you're in the city or you're in the valley, no, where you, wherever you are, if you come under my jurisdiction or you're under my dominion or you're in my kingdom, guess what you must do? If you come under me, you must tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. That Daniel. The one that they came against, that Daniel. That Daniel, God can do some things that my God can't do. So therefore, I got the authority now to tell everybody in my kingdom that they got to fear, they got to reverence and respect Daniel's God. Look at this. For he is the, somebody said living God. He is the living God. Everything else is a dead God. If you worship in a God that you can see, that you can touch, and you can feel, he's dead. Amen. And so therefore, we need to let people know we are worshiping the true and living God. Got your God around your neck, telling you got to touch him. No, no, no. You got the wrong. Got a statue sitting on your shelf. You got to bow down to. You got the. Man, if you can wear your God around your neck, you got the. Let me start right there. Some of y'all need to take a look at some of y'all children and see what they're wearing. They're wearing some things that represent other gods. And you need to let them know. We worship the true and for he is the living God. I know that was going to get tight right there. Look at this. And steadfast forever. In other words, he ain't going nowhere. He's unwavering. He's going to be the same yesterday, today, and forever. So therefore, he ain't going nowhere. You worshiping a God that is going to be here when the end comes, because he was here in the beginning. And look, he says, his kingdom is the one which shall not be destroyed. And his dominion shall endure to the end. These are the words of a heathen that done got a revelation who the true and living God is, and now he done put it in writing for his whole. Can I meddle one more time before I go to my seat? You ain't a heathen no more. And you know the true and living God. You need to put some decrees in your household and tell your children that this is how they're going to do it and who they gonna do it with. It should be no doubt in their mind who the true and living God is, because you're in a position to put some decrees in your. I know y'all don't like to meddle with your kids. We live in a different generation now. In my day, there was no privacy laws in my house. That was your bedroom, but it was my house. And there was no lock on your bedroom. No. And I had the authority to come in anytime I.
did not need permission. Because I'm going to make sure that you worship in the right. And back then, Wayne, we didn't have cell phones. But if we had had them then, I would have had access. It wouldn't have been no private thing. You ain't can't get no, baby. I'm paying the phone bill. I'm going to see who's texting you. I'm going to see who's sending you some pics around here. Because I want to make sure all these pics, fall under the decree. They have the decree out there to say, you just can't see any kind of pic. I know homie like you like that, but he just can't. See, y'all was all right long as I was talking about Daniel and his decrees and all that. But now I'm talking about your decree. What are you going to decree for your household? I'm done. Look at this. Verse 27, he says, talking about Daniel's God still, he says, he delivers and rescues. In other words, he saves. And he works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. Who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions? And after that, guess what the king does? He does what all of them had done, even to the Hebrew boys. Daniel, get a promotion. Daniel, get that promotion. He become the man next to the king. And look here. The Bible said Daniel prospered. So it says, so somebody say, this Daniel. Yeah, if y'all don't remember nothing else, just remember this. And then put your name to it. This Moses. This Moses prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus. It didn't make no difference who the next king was, but because Daniel had the right spirit and he worshiped the right God, the next king left him in Daniel was an old man and he was still running things in that kingdom. And so what I'm trying to tell you, when you distinguish yourself in life, people will notice you when you are distinguished because you will stand out. Don't let the critics keep you from being excellent in what you do. And believe that your excellence will be rewarded if God is in the mix. If you're doing it to bring glory and honor to Him, strive for excellence in all that you do. Believe that God will honor you when you honor Him. And once He honors you, you need to stand out for Him. Don't just stand out in here on Sunday. Because in here we all kind of look the same. We all going to act right off up in here. Even when I was the chief sinner, I knew how to act right in church. I just didn't go to church and cut the food. But it's what we do when we, that's what's going to distinguish us from the world. How you carry yourself when you leave this place. And I guarantee you, if you carry yourself in a distinguished way, God will honor you because you will honor Him. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. I'm done. Thank God. We thank God. That's it. Every head bowed and every eye closed.